Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm Jeremy Barron, and this is Colt Chinero Chat, the only weekly English language podcast dedicated to Atletico Madrid and the official podcast of Into the Calderon, SB Nation's home for all things Atletico. My guest on this edition of Colt Chinero Chat, the first of 2018, making his standard Monday appearance, is Into the Calderon staff writer Rob Walker. Rob Walker is the guest on this edition of Colt Chinero Chat. Rob has more travel stories to relate, overseas travel stories, and then we'll launch into the year that was and the year that will be. We reflect on 2017, including the best player, the best goal, the best moment of the calendar year. We'll dish out letter grades. We'll offer three bold predictions each. Three bold predictions each for 2018. And they are very bold. They will surprise you. We'll also talk about Yaeda in the Copa del Rey Wednesday and a lot more. Patrons can find this episode's bonus podcast, the Rumor Roundup, on the Patreon page, patreon.com/ColtChinero Chat, where we talk about Costa and Vitolo's presentation on New Year's Eve, the latest rumors on Nico Gaetan and Luciano Vietto, and more. Before we proceed, remember you can listen and subscribe to all new and archived episodes of Colt Chinero Chat on your favorite podcasting platform. If you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and review. Helps get more eyes and ears on the program. Helps get more visibility on Colt Chinero Chat, so it would really help us out. Also, mentioned the Patreon page earlier. If you're not a patron and you're interested in becoming a patron, go to patreon.com/ColtChinero Chat. You can get access to our bonus Monday pods, our rumor roundup pods, and a whole lot more. Recently updated and refreshed the rewards and the reward tiers, so do have a look-see, and if anything interests you, feel free to sign up. patreon.com/ColtChinero Chat. We'll be back with Rob Walker after this.
Fair enough.
Congratulations on your American football team qualifying for the postseason.
Yes, and playing like absolute crap the whole season didn't deserve it at all, but yes.
But they got in.
The Falcons. They're terrible, and they've ruined my life on many occasions. that is all I have to say.
And they will probably lose to the Rams.
Probably so. Yeah. Probably so, but I'd rather play them than the Saints, so.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. Well, I'll let Cam deal with them.
Yeah, so this is the first Colt Chinero Chat since before Christmas. I feel like I'm like a junkie. Like, I'm scratching myself all over because, like, I couldn't deal with not doing it so long. It's like
I'm
going through withdrawal.
It's weird. The winter break is nice and all for giving the players a break, but I miss a bit of La Liga in my life.
I know. It comes back this weekend.
Hallelujah, yes.
With Atleti and Getafe at 5 in the morning, my time. Of course.
Oh, God.
What a rude awakening.
Yeah, but that's going to be a painful one, and I have a feeling, well, you could probably miss the first half of that one.
At least, yeah. Probably the first hour.
Getafe are so boring to watch.
But they're good. But, despite being that boring, they're kind of good.
Yeah, it's good. They keep it tight, so.
Before we get into all that, though, you recently concluded some travels.
I have, yes. I went to the land where they invented this game.
Brazil?
Yes, that one. I wish. That would have been a lot warmer.
Tell us about your London travels, Mr. Walker.
Well, I flew into the London land and then went to the eastern bit of England and kind of hung out in a smallish town and went to two lower league football matches, you know, because I'm a professional and wanted to go research what lower league opponents were like, seeing as Atletico are playing a third division side coming up.
There you go.
In the coming days. Not really, but it was exciting.
Always working, aren't you?
Oh, always, always, always doing research, putting it in my mind, watching all those headers. It's not the highest standard of football ever, but I, you know, when you're in the foreign countries and, you know, the football's going on over the Christmas period, you gotta got to go for it. So I went to an Ipswich Town match, which was 0-0 and pretty atrocious altogether. And then I went to a Colchester United, which is in League Two.
Yes.
And it was, you know, equally a bit crap. But, you know, at least there were goals in that match.
Oh, that is, those are indeed interesting life choices you made.
Yes, well, I suppose I could have gone to a higher level, but I like the physical kicky about times.
True football.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
None of this pretty flowing crap you see in like elite competitions.
Oh God, no! This passing stuff—it makes me sick. I just want to see headers and crunching tackles
and yellow cards. Lots of yellow cards.
So many.
So you took in the nice culture, met the nice people, ate the nice food. Well, nice is a relative term.
Yeah, you know, I'm not mad at the food. It's pretty hearty, which I can appreciate. But, you know, it gets a fairly bad rap, I'd say. I've certainly had worse food.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'll take
English food. Not so bad.
Not so bad. Put that on your tombstone.
Yeah, that's okay.
Here lies Rob Walker. He thought English food wasn't that bad.
Yeah, exactly. Wouldn't my arteries get jammed up after eating all that meat?
Yeah, you exactly. Already know it.
Yes, exactly. Already feeling it.
All right. Well, there is a decent amount to talk about on this edition of the pod. We're mostly going to do a look back at 2017 and the year it was partially good, partially very not good. Mm. We're going to look back on the year that was. We're going to take a little bit of a look toward the future with some bold predictions for 2018. Bold. Bold.
All right.
So get those gears turning. Get your predictions ready.
Yeah, I'm going to get my thinking cap on.
Oh, and I let you actually play a game this week. So it's Yaeda and the Copa del Rey, as you implied on Wednesday. We'll talk about that game as well. And we also have our bonus pod for patrons coming up a little bit later, where we'll talk about the latest news items, including Diego Costa and Vitolo, officially presented on Sunday, in addition to the latest on Luciano Vietto and Nico Gaetan.
All right. We got a big old show.
Indeed. So do you want to talk at all about the Espanyol game? Because the last time we podcasted was before that game.
Ah, yes.
It's been a while.
Well, I will admit to, I believe I might have been in the air during this match, so I don't believe I got to watch a second of it. But looking back, I'm quite glad I didn't get to.
Yeah, for most of this game, I was watching an Arizona State University basketball game. So
both made good decisions.
I too did not watch the entirety of this game. Yeah, but it was dreadful. Just looking at the statistics and watching the highlights after it ended, it was disastrous. And you know, we've talked about the quadruple pivot before and how Simeone has doubled down on that philosophy this season to avoid conceding, to kind of make up for the perceived lack of attacking options he has. And it finally came back to hurt him after some really wretched performances that Atleti got draws out of or got wins out of. Couldn't the pixie dust was not around this time.
Yeah, that will happen when you're kind of playing this weird formation and sort of a more conservative play style with a weird formation. Eventually, it's going to come back to bite you. And Atleti, the unbeaten record was kind of a bit kind looking back on some of the matches that they played. So
yeah, I mean they had this coming. I mean you remember the win against Celta where they were just absolutely dominated and still won. Like, you remember the Tomas's late winner against Deportivo. They had a quarter of possession against Betis. They created four chances against Alavés and still won all of those games. So they were kind of begging for this after, you know, 16 weeks of kind of relatively unscathed. They were begging for this.
Yeah, they rode the variance for as long as they could, and they almost made it out of this first period of the season and made it to the time where they'll have some fresh attacking players for the new year. But you know, eventually it was going to come back to bite them, and it was against a pretty poor side. But you know, these things will happen.
Yeah, I mean, Espanyol always give Atletico trouble. So this seemed like one of those classic trip-up games, and indeed it was.
Yes, indeed, but despite it, they're still second in the table somehow.
Yeah, if you had told me that they'd end the first half of the season with just one loss through 17 weeks, I would have called you crazy.
Yeah, exactly. We would have bitten someone's hand off to get that, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, they're 9 points back of Barca, which is probably too big a gap to consider coming back from, but second place is pretty good. Ahead of Madrid is really good. Ahead of Valencia, who is everyone's darling, is also really good. And to be, I think, 7 points clear of Sevilla is the best news of all. I mean, Atleti are going to be back in the Champions League next season, which is all that really matters.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And at this point, I'm extremely confident that they're going to be in the Champions League coming the end of the season.
Yeah, so the first gap I look at is the one to Sevilla. Then you worry about the ones with Madrid and Valencia and Barca. There's, I think it's seven clear of Sevilla, and they have the big goal difference advantage, and they have the head-to-head advantage.
Yeah, the goal difference thing is huge. That sort of shows you the gap between that top four and then the rest of the league, because it's just immense from that point on. I mean, it's 10-plus goals for most of the teams below fourth. So, yeah, well, you know, and they've had a good defensive record for most of the year, which you would expect, but they really needed some more attacking options, and they're going to get them now, but we'll see what they can do with them.
Yeah, exactly. I wrote a column after the game ended about how Costa himself will not solve Atletico's biggest problem, and their biggest problem is chance creation, which I think you've written about before, too.
Yeah.
Atleti have created 153 chances this season, excluding the Espanyol game. That's smack dab in the middle of La Liga. That's not good enough. Their chance conversion is actually really good. I think it's the fourth highest in La Liga, which is amazing. So finishing is actually not the problem. It's creating consistent chances, which is the problem. I mean, four of the bottom six have created more chances than Atletico this season. Four of the bottom six.
It's sad, and we've been banging on about it all year, that this four central midfield thing just does not create enough opportunities, because they're kind of putting square pegs in round holes with a lot of these players that then aren't allowed to express themselves. And these are some of Atleti's most creative players, specifically Koke and Saul, that aren't really able to do as much as they would normally.
Yep, because Saul is often playing more defensively. Koke is out of position. It's Felipe who's usually the top playmaker.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
And still relying on him when he's 32 going on 33 is, well, just not preferable.
And they've been fortunate with how good Felipe's been this season, because he has been excellent.
Oh, yeah. Imagine if Felipe had like a Juan Fran-esque fall off.
Exactly. Now, that is the worst-case scenario for this season, but thankfully he still looks just as good as he always has.
Yeah. Thank goodness for
that. Hallelujah, yes.
Yeah, so Atleti are second, which is really good, and they have theoretically upgraded, as we'll talk about in our bonus pod, patrons. They have theoretically upgraded in their attack by adding Diego Costa and Vitolo. So it will be a very interesting second half, and we'll talk about that second half later on in this edition of the pod. But let's look back a little further now, Rob. Let's look back on 2017 as a whole. How would you grade, on a letter scale, how would you grade 2017 for Atletico?
Well, it's strange. In the league, I would say I actually thought that the second half of last season was quite good for Atletico. They kind of turned a corner. The first half of last season was quite poor, I thought, the 2016 bit. But then once they got into 2017, they only lost twice in the league. They won a lot of matches, and their sort of attacking players kind of came into their own a little bit. There was some disappointing results in the Cup and the Champions League, but they went deep. I mean, they went to the semifinals of both. So I guess last season, not so bad, really, in 2017. And the first part of this year, I'd say, has been mostly boring, but effective, quietly. I mean, some of these matches, for the most part, if you look at the results, it's mostly by a one-goal margin, which isn't, you know, the best football to watch. But, you know, it's working, and Atleti are in second, and we're almost undefeated. So not so bad, really. I just kind of say it's middle of the road. It's clearly a little bit short of our expectations. We might have wanted a trophy in there. I think probably the best opportunity was in the Copa del Rey. But, you know, these things happen when you run to Barcelona and Real Madrid. So I guess we just have to take it, and we'll see what's going on in the second half of this season, because it's going to be a lot different than it was last year, I think, with the Europa League and such.
Yeah, it's going to be a very different look. So you would kind of differentiate the league from the Champions League from the Copa. You'd kind of consider each like its own letter grade.
Yeah, I would say so. I'd probably give the league, I think they did a solid like B+, sort of A- kind of range. I think they really picked it up after a poor start, which was impressive. But then I think there was some, for me personally, there was a lot of disappointment in the Copa del Rey as well as the Champions League. They got some fairly kind draws, I thought, in the knockout rounds of the Champions League up until the semis. But, you know, it is what it is, I suppose.
I think overall I would say for 2017, a B-.
Yeah.
And I think the group stage exit this season is the biggest reason why that's a B- instead of a B+. I mean, that's just a failure at like every level to go back to the Europa League after 4 years away, crashing out of the Champions League. In a tough group, admittedly, but Atletico were group champions 4 years in a row before this? Yeah. So to have that kind of a fall from grace, winning only once in your penultimate game, which effectively it kept Atleti alive, but effectively didn't matter. It's a failure. So I won't grade each competition separately, but I think the Champions League is the biggest reason why this is a B- instead of a B+. Because I think their league performance has been excellent through 2017. And it's weird to say that, even though Atletico haven't been really in a title race for much of the calendar year. Well, they weren't. But they went unbeaten for a whole year away from home, which is extremely impressive. They started this season unbeaten through 16 weeks, which no one really saw coming. Their league performances have been consistently effective. I think you put it really well. Boring, but effective.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that would get my highest marks from them, their league performances. The Copa del Rey is kind of right in the middle. You know, they made a semifinal run last year, which was good. Still haven't made the final since 2013. Some optimism that they can do it this year, as they've been handed two pretty kind draws to start with, which, you know, they ended up beating Elche pretty handily, and they're probably going to handle Yaeda the same way. So there's some optimism that maybe they will return to the final this year, but kind of middle of the road for me was how I would grade out the Copa. So overall, a B-. I lean toward a B- for 2017. Above average, but barely. Particularly that Champions League performance is just an eyesore.
Yeah, that was certainly the low point. And it's kind of interesting because but the registration ban, this squad didn't change at all, really. But even still, I feel like the squad from the 2016-2017 season was a bit different to the one that is now. I mean, I'm looking at it right now, and through halfway point of the season, this team has scored 34 goals this season, and last year in total they scored 106. So they're sort of off the pace of scoring quite a bit, and I think we've sort of seen that throughout this year. The attacking players this season have been quite a lot worse, I think. Griezmann obviously hasn't been on his game. And when Tomas and Angel Correa are the second highest scorers in the squad, it's something a bit weird is going on.
Yeah, the keeping the same team together, it kind of goes both ways, right? Because you keep what was a pretty solid team last year together, giving them another chance to grow. But this was a team that we talked about it a lot over the past year that needed reinvention, that needed a boost, that needed a bit of a reboot, as it were. And they couldn't get it. They were going to do it this summer, but then, well, they got banned from making transfers.
Yeah, with the cohesion, like you say. But in other ways, it kind of showed how some parts of the squad are a bit stale. But, yeah, and some of these players we're not going to see for very much longer, I don't think. And I think, as we acknowledged, I think before the summer and during, if it weren't for the registration ban, a lot of the squad from last season would have been gone.
Yep.
But, you know, it's an interesting year, and I totally agree with you. I think the Champions League this year is the biggest disappointment of 2017. But there, I'd say the Copa del Rey is still, right now, their best and probably only unless Barcelona completely collapsed their only chance at a trophy. I mean, I guess the Europa League, but I don't know how seriously Diego Simeone is going to take it.
Yeah, that's kind of an open question at the moment. Because Gabby, I think, phrased it perfectly after the second Caravaggio game. Like, if he said, like, if Atleti have to play the Europa League, it would be a shame. It would be, you know, it's basically it's beneath us at this point. But if we have to play it, we have an obligation to go try to win it. So kind of both sides of the same coin.
Unless something happens crazy in the league, I mean, there's no real need to rest players. I mean, it's a small squad already, but unless they get into some miracle title chase, I don't really see why they'd have to fully rest players in the Europa League. Not that they really have the squad to do that in terms of rotation, but, you know, it's a thing, and Simeone has rotated more this year. I think that's probably the biggest change from last season to this one, is that there's been a bit more experimentation with the squad.
Not nearly enough for my liking, but he's shown a capacity to grow in that sense, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, as compared to a lot of coaches, he does not rotate that much, but a lot more than Diego Simeone normally does.
Yeah.
For sure.
Who was your best player of 2017?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I would say Saul for me personally. I think 2017 was really the year where he cemented himself. I think after that goal against Bayern Munich in the Champions League two seasons ago, from that moment on, his stars just kept on rising, and he was excellent in the Champions League. And he was excellent in the league, and then he kept that going during the summer, and then he started this season quite well as well. I would go for Saul personally.
Yeah, hard to argue with that one. Saul has just, he's going to be world class. I've said before, he's the guy who you build this team around for the next 5 years at least. You know, he's got a 9-year contract, so hopefully more than 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, I'd take nine.
Yeah, I'd take 19.
Saul, as long as he likes.
Yeah, I mean, Saul is amazing. He is so versatile. He's incredibly skilled, naturally gifted, and he's as hard a worker as anybody. He doesn't let it get to his head. And that's why we love him. And he's an outstanding player. And yeah, he's certainly up there for me. My best player would probably be Oblak, though. I'm going to go with Oblak.
I can't argue with that either.
I think 2017 was the year Oblak firmly ascended into the goalkeeping elite, where he's firmly, like, you cannot argue that he's not one of the three best goalkeepers in the world right now. You can't argue that. What he's meant to the team, especially this season, as their defense has gotten a little bit older, a little creakier, a little bit, maybe not stale, but a little less assured than they were in years past. Oblak has been there. His penalty record since that fateful night in Milan, his penalty record has been incredible. We actually have a big profile on him on the site right now that our own Mikey Ryland wrote about how Oblak took his chance to become the best goalkeeper in La Liga. It chronicles his time as a youth in Slovenia up through his time at Benfica and all the loan spells they sent him on to where he is now at Atleti and how good he's become. So give that a read on the site. But yeah, I'd have to go with Oblak because he's meant more to Atleti. He meant more to Atletico in 2017 than he did in 2016.
And he has single-handedly won Atletico tons of points in all of 2017. Yeah. I can't argue with that at all. And with Manuel Neuer's kind of creakiness and injury record, I mean, you could say that all three of the best goalkeepers in Europe, if not the world, are all Atletico products at this point.
Yeah, Oblak, Courtois, and De Gea. Oblak. Yep.
Absolutely. So yeah. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, times have changed. It used to be all the forwards that Atleti let go, getting those high marks, not necessarily the goalkeepers.
Yeah, both ends of the field, they're cranking them out. So we'll take it.
Best goal of 2017.
Oof. There have been some good ones.
There are fewer to choose from than we like, but there are still some good options.
Yeah. Was Torres against Celta? Was that in 2017?
Yep, that was that crazy 3-2 game.
Yeah, that was amazing. That was a great one. Where he sort of like fell backwards and knocked it.
It was intentional.
Half bicycle.
He didn't fall. It was intentional, obviously.
Yes, an intentional fall. I didn't say it was unintentional, but yeah, I would say that one's up there for me. Saul against Leverkusen was pretty excellent. Yeah, I'll go for Torres. Why not?
Good choice. That was Torres's probably personal highlight of 2017.
Yeah.
Well, other than the two goals against Athletic in the final game at the Calderon.
That was also pretty amazing. Yeah. No, and there was also a Griezmann free kick at some point at the end
Sevilla
of last year. That
against,
was pretty amazing.
Against Sevilla.
Yeah.
Where
that was amazing.
He lashed it under the bar and Sergio Rico had no chance.
Yeah, that was like that was one of like the hardest struck balls in all of the season, I think. He smacked the junk out of that. That was amazing as well.
Low key, that's a really good choice.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites. That one was excellent.
The Griezmann free kick. There are some good choices here. Yeah, a couple Saul goals for me, actually. The one against Leverkusen was really good. His goal against Barca earlier this season was excellent. It gave Atleti the 1-0 lead that they held on to for an hour before conceding. It's difficult. Griezmann's goal versus Roma, even though in effect it didn't mean a whole lot, it was still a gorgeous goal. The way it was set up and the way it was finished just was a perfect goal, and it helped Atleti get back into form somewhat. Even though it was too late to save their Champions League season, it helped Atleti get back into form. They suffered that slip up against Espanyol, but more and more they've been playing well over the past month. I would have to say Griezmann's goal against Roma is my goal of 2017, just for how Correa saved the ball from going out of play, still had enough strength and wherewithal to cross it, and Griezmann just timed it so perfectly and just lashed it past Alisson.
Yeah, I feel like that goal's actually a little bit underrated because of how little it really meant in the grand scheme of things, but that was an excellent goal for sure. And it like you said, it kick-started Atletico, but it also kick-started Griezmann's season because he hadn't been doing anything up until that point in the season. And then he sort of went on a bit of a scoring run.
Well, there are still times where he's not doing anything, but he's playing a little better now.
That will happen, yeah. At least he's not entirely invisible.
Your single best moment of 2017. This can be really anything.
Oh, man. I would say the first 20 minutes of the second leg of the Champions League semifinal.
Second leg. Yes.
That would be mine because that was when I was like, oh, shit, it's happening.
Like you had belief.
But, yeah, obviously that one didn't come off. And it's only a few minutes, but I think that was pretty excellent.
Yeah, the first 20 to 30 minutes of that game, you actually had belief, like, that they may actually do something. They may actually have done something on that night. They were close. You know, they got the first two so quickly and then just could not find that third.
And the Calderon was pumping as well. That was a good one.
That was one of my best moments. Was at the very end of that game when the supporters were still just full throated, singing their hearts out, even though the tie had been lost, you know, for a long time, and even though the rain, the skies had opened up, it was lashing rain everywhere. And it was kind of glorious and the perfect way to send off the Calderon.
Which is strange to say of a Champions League semifinal exit, but it was a very Atletico kind of way.
In the pissing rain, winning a battle against Real Madrid but losing the war.
Sounds familiar.
In a way, it was perfect in that way.
Yeah, for sure.
My best moment would probably be the final game against Athletic.
Yeah.
Just kind of that whole day. It counts as a moment for me. From the fast start, the 2-0 lead inside 12 minutes, eventually winning 3-1, and then the really emotional farewell summer ceremony after, where they brought out all the trophies dating back to 1969, which was their first league title that they won at the Calderon, bringing back all the club legends, all their trophies from the past 45 years. Simeone gave a really kind of fiery speech about how the club still had a big future and he'd be coming back, and it was a really, really well done. A really, really good ceremony. It was really well done, and it was obviously tinged with some controversy as well, because there weren't a lot of people who wanted to leave the Calderon, and the reasons for leaving could be considered shady.
Mm. That's one way to put it.
But it was still a great moment to see 50 plus years of history kind of all come back for that one day. Apparently, Atleti have sold the Calderon site. I was reading this the other day. Apparently, I mean, I haven't been able to verify it, but apparently they have sold it or are coming close to selling it. Speaking of.
Mm.
And they may,
don't
be,
like
able,
that.
They may be able to make but, a tiny you know. Profit off it, like to the tune of $175 million.
Yeah, well, fair enough. And Correa got the last goal at the Calderon, which, you know, who had, the weirdest 2017 season. And Correa was, like, totally terrible for the vast majority of last season. Scores the last goal at the Calderon and then is amazing to start the season. But
and then kind of
typical fashion, kind of tails off.
Kind of tails off again, yeah. Yeah, Correa is really interesting. We'll talk about it a little more on the bonus pod, but Correa is a really interesting case. I'm not sure what 2018 is going to hold for him. I'm not sure what role he's going to have with Costa and Vitolo coming in.
But we also kind of felt the same way at the end of last season as well.
Yeah, and he kind of exceeded expectations and was a starter for a while this season. I don't know.
I don't know when we're going to figure it out about Correa, but I'm really dying to sort of get to that point.
Yeah.
So yeah. We know one way or the other, but yeah.
Well, that's all well and good. Let's make some bold predictions now for 2018. Mm. Three bold predictions, Rob.
God. Well, I boldly predicted, I believe, at the start of the season that they'd finish second. And so I'll stick with that.
They're going to finish second. I like that.
Granted, I did also say that they get to the Champions League final, but
well, you know,
we'll just forget that ever happened.
Yeah, I repressed
that. I'll delete
that
off site later.
All right, but, so that's your first one. Is that they'll finish second?
Yep, finish second. Will they win a trophy? Yeah, I'll say they'll win the cup. I think they might win the Copa del Rey this year. I don't know. I'm kind of feeling it. And then, let's see. I'm going to have to think about it for a bit. You give me your three, and I'll come up with a third.
All right, my first prediction. Atleti will win a double this season.
Ooh.
They will win the Europa League, and they will win the Copa del Rey.
Ooh, a cup double.
I think Atleti are going to try in the Europa League. They face Copenhagen in the round of 32, which they should really win that. You'd think, right? And Atleti are stacked, right? Especially by adding Costa and Vitolo. They are more stacked than just about any other Europa League contender. Napoli have Serie A to deal with. They want to win Serie A really badly. Arsenal are, well, Arsenal. Dortmund have been really bad for a lot of this season. This is a team that blew a 4-0 lead in a derby to Schalke and drew 4-4. That's not a team you can really take seriously. No offense to our colleagues at Fear the Wall, but your team isn't very good this year. So Atleti are, if not the prohibitive favorites to win the Europa League, they are heavy favorites to win it. And I think they're going to understand that, and they see a chance to win a trophy. It's not the Champions League, no, but it is another European title. It would mark their third Europa League title of the decade, which, you know, is a pretty good haul. So I think Atleti are going to win the Europa League, and I think they can win the Cup, too. I think Real Madrid are going to get back in the league title hunt at some point. They will get back there, and they will be distracted fighting with Barcelona. Barca are going to slip up. They may lose to Celta. Celta are kind of giant killers in the Copa. They've knocked out Atletico 2 years ago, knocked out Real Madrid last year. They could do the treble and knock out Barcelona too, which would be a big boost for Atleti's Copa chances.
Yeah, I think that's certainly. Well, so we're on the same page on the Copa. I'm just less sure about the Europa League. And I'll go for my third prediction. I think that they'll sell Griezmann and sign Aubameyang.
I believe that
rumor. I know it's weird, but I believe it.
Oh, that'd be tasty.
And also it's tasty.
It's extremely juicy. Wow. All right. So those are your three predictions. My second prediction Kevin Gamero will stay, and Kevin Gamero will have a big second half of the season.
Whoa!
Now hear me out. I know I'm not a Gamero fanboy, and I have lost belief in him many times over the past 18 months, but maybe it's because he scored a hat trick in that friendly in Egypt, but
yeah.
I'm not sure that you're going to get a good enough offer for Gamero. There have been kind of these hazy links that they're, Valencia want him, that Everton want him, that, French teams are interested in his services, but I don't know if they're going to get a good enough offer. And you already have Vieto likely going out the door, potentially Gaetan going out the door. I'm just not sure. Maybe Augusto going out the door. I'm not sure they will get a good enough offer for Gamero, and that could work out nicely for him. Now, there will be competition for places because you'll be fielding five strikers, but I think Gamero is going to stay, as far as I know, and I think he will score some important goals in the second half of the season.
All right.
So that's two. Got to pick out my third. This one's tough.
It is. The third one's tough.
Atletico will win at the Bernabeu.
Oh, I like that one. That was one that was on my mind as well. I'm glad you said it.
With a goal from Diego Costa.
Oh, has to be. Has to be. Like in the title-winning season, sort of a similar kind of result to that one.
Yeah, that game in that season was the one where you said, okay, Atleti could do some serious business this year.
Yeah. All right, I'm on board for that one. You can sign me up for that one.
Let's do it. Bold predictions.
I like it. I like it. I would take all of our predictions, to be honest.
Yeah, for sure.
It would all be a very happy conclusion.
Wouldn't be unhappy.
No, certainly not. And I think the boldest, I think you get the award for boldest.
With which one? Gamero?
With Gamero, yeah.
I don't believe in him, but I want to keep believing in him.
I respect it. I respect it. You keep the faith. You can hold my faith as well.
So, Yaeda in the Copa del Rey Wednesday as Atleti return to action. They're visiting the Catalan side. Some info on Yaeda. It's actually a pretty interesting story they have there. They're a Segunda B side, so a second consecutive third division team Atleti are going to be facing. They play in one of the oldest cities in all of Catalonia. They were founded in 2011 following the original Yaeda team's collapse. They play at a 100-year-old stadium called Camp de Sport. It's spelled like esports, but it's not pronounced that way, obviously. And
that's amazing.
Camp de Esports.
Kid you not. We're going to have some jokes with that one. Oh, gosh.
Camp de Esports.
The Esports Arena.
Right now. Esports Stadium.
Yes, of course.
Christ. Yeah, but they're now most famous for knocking out Real Sociedad in the round of 32. They were behind 2-0 before they roared back to win 3-2 in the second leg and advance on away goals.
Yes, and I'm looking at their... It looks like they've been in the Primera once? Well, the old team was.
I didn't know that. When were they in the top flight?
1993-94, and then immediately got relegated. But
no kidding. Huh. More you know.
Once in the Primera. But that was, I think, that was the old club. So.
Yeah, that was before they were dissolved. Due to, you guessed it, financial difficulties.
That will happen.
Like will happen. Half the teams in Spain.
Well, I was looking at the table of the Segunda B Group 3, the most confusing third division system ever. But they are below Elche in the table, who Atleti have already gotten by. So that's, an even easier opponent on the surface.
Yeah, for sure. Not sure if Costa or Vitolo will play. I would say no. Probably not a great idea to risk them, get them ready for Getafe at the weekend, which is probably the more important game. I'm not sure how Simeone is quite going to set up his guys just yet. But on paper, this is very, very favorable for Atletico, who really should not face a whole lot of resistance here in advancing to the last eight of the Copa. I mean, stranger things have happened. Real Sociedad can tell you that. But this looks like kind of open and shut to me. You never know for sure, but it looks that way.
Yeah, I expect it'll probably follow kind of a similar pattern to the Elche tie, maybe sort of a tight first leg away from home. Atleti probably won't go too gung-ho, and then the second leg they'll sort of finish them off. So we'll see how it goes. But on paper, clearly Atletico should wax the sport team. But it's always fun to play the lower-tier teams because, you know, you never really see them otherwise.
My scoreline prediction streak ended at 4. With the 1-0 loss to Espanyol, so I'm going to start a new streak here. 2-0 win on Wednesday.
2-0. All right, I think that's fair. I go for a 1-0.
You're going 1-0.
I'm going 1-0. It's a pretty popular scoreline. That 3-2 in Egypt is an anomaly.
We didn't even talk about that game. Jeez. Yeah, so Atleti fell behind 2-0. Just a lot of substitutions. All three goalkeepers played. Moya, Oblak played half an hour. Moya played half an hour. Axel Werner actually played half an hour. Or a little less than half an hour. I played closer to 20
As soon
minutes.
As Oblak comes off, they concede 2 goals.
Yeah, I was so nervous in Oblak. Like, is he hurt? No, he's just getting rest. Okay, good.
Yeah.
It's fine.
It's pretty amazing when your first sub in a match is your goalkeeper.
So Atleti fell
behind. That's a friendly for you.
Atleti fell behind 1-0. Griezmann and Saul came on in the second half. Atleti fell behind 2-0. Gamero came on, and he scored all three of their second half goals to complete a comeback win. Yay? Sure? Cool.
I'll take it. I assume they got paid many, many, many euros for playing this match.
It's brand, hashtag brand exposure.
Absolutely. Brand exposure and money. So money is good. Hopefully that will help. But I watched absolutely zero of this game. I was also in the air for it, but it's a friendly in Egypt, so I think I could probably get excused for that one.
I think you're all right.
Yeah, but interesting. They played a fairly stronger team than I was expecting, but of course there were about a billion substitutions.
Yeah, there was an Al Ahly fan who was tweeting the ITC account during the game, and like they were playing their fringe players. They had a league match the night before, so they were like fully rested, fully rotating.
Yeah, I would hope so. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, there were like fringe players and like non-professional players who were playing in that game, apparently.
I mean, I don't think we can pretend to know anything about the
I'm not even going to pretend. I don't know anything about them. So.
I know zero of their players, but I'm sure they're a great team. I don't know. Are they winning their league? Who knows?
I think they're the most successful team in Egypt's history, or one of the most successful in African history.
I've certainly heard of them. But I know none of their players.
Isn't there another Al Ahly, like, in Qatar?
It's certainly possible.
Like, it's spelled with an I instead of a Y? I don't know. I have the feeling there's a second Al Ahly somewhere.
Is that... Maybe they're related to the one that Xavi plays for still. Does he still play for that team? Who knows?
Who knows? Who cares? It's Xavi.
Oh, he wanted that money bad. But yeah.
And Barcelona didn't want him.
They have a nice crest, though.
They do.
I like the Al Ahly crest. It's quite nice.
Yes. And they have a really nice stadium.
And big.
Huge,
Very big, yeah.
It was a shorter trip this year than last year when they went to Saudi Arabia.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, this is a bit shorter.
I'm not particularly keen on these sort of money-making friendly things, but I guess it's just a consequence of the modern game.
Yeah, in the middle of the season, I'm not a fan of them. In principle, they're fine because it's really good for exposure, get more money in. Middle of the season, though, not my favorite time for it.
Yeah.
Because you never know if players are going to get hurt. You never know what fitness levels are.
Yeah, it's a long trip to an unfamiliar stadium. I don't know. It's not ideal, but hey, they did it, so whatever. Let's just hope they're all rested up enough and aren't too tired. I mean, they probably didn't exert themselves too much, except for maybe Kevin Gamero.
Who got his hat trick. Good for him.
Yeah, fair enough.
All right, man, what else you got?
I think that might be it for this bit. We kind of covered a bunch.
We did. We had a big show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, and more to do, I suppose.
Well, we're going to do the sign-off message, and then, patrons, we're going to do your podcast. Good. So that is the well-traveled Rob Walker. You can find him on Twitter at rwalk03. You can find me, your host, Jeremy Barron, on Twitter at jbbarron. Follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon and like IATC on Facebook at facebook.com/Into the Calderon. Colchonero Chat. Find it on iTunes. Like, listen, subscribe, do whatever you want. Also, leave a rating and review. It really helps us out, gets more eyes and ears on the program. And for those of you who are our patrons, you know very well how this game works. But for those of you who aren't patrons and are interested in becoming patrons, don't delay. Patreon.com/Colchonero Chat is the place to be. We recently updated, refreshed some of the rewards. We've added a brand new MVP tier where for a certain financial contribution, you yourself, yes, you, could appear on an episode of Colchonero Chat.
Ooh, wow.
What an opportunity. but spaces are limited, so if you're interested in becoming part of the real MVP tier, actually, it's just the MVP tier, but now I'm going to rename it the real MVP tier. Head over to patreon.com/Colchonero Chat. Don't delay.
We will love you forever.
Oh, yeah. All right, we will be back to talk about the Copa del Rey, Getafe, all that good stuff. Until then, adios.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.